everybody, what's going on? And it's Monday, and yeah. We saw a movie.
Yeah, actually, we saw Civil War.
Yeah, we actually went had a little movie date on Saturday. Went to Koi Wan, the buffet.
Yeah,
had some nice food and then
Chinese
went,
food.
Then we went and saw Civil War. It's not a feel good movie. That's
saw
for
in the
sure.
Dolby Theater.
We did. Yeah, we.
I had a good time though.
We specifically saw in Dolby.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I kind of feel like I was reading some other reviews and watching some other people's reviews of this. Like after I'd kind of processed my thoughts about it. And from what I could determine, like, I don't wander into the cesspit of, like, people that piss and moan about movies, really, because it's depressing. But from what I could glean, it does seem like a lot of people are pissing and moaning about this movie, and they haven't even seen it.
Yep. Okay, and I've been looking, some of the guys on the right, you know, in GunTube or whatever, the guys that are the Second Amendment guys, them pissing and moaning about it, and them misunderstanding the movie.
And then I think a lot of people are going to misunderstand and this movie.
That also went back and looked at some of the people on the left that reviewed it, and they misunderstood the movie. This movie is in a parallel universe America. They're not talking about Trump. They're not talking about fucking... They do mention things like Antifa. They show... what do you call them? Boogaloo Boys. But they... This is a parallel universe America. It's not quite our America. And they're not taking into account things that happen in civil conflict. None of these factions are the America that you know.
Yeah.
The Loyalist States of America is not the United States. There's not a union anymore. The Florida Alliance is not the United States.
Yeah, there's the Western Forces,
is not the United States
California
either.
And Texas, and then they have a secessionist movement in Florida that also kind of goes along with them.
Yeah.
But the thing that I think was kind of good about this, and I know that even critics that saw this, because critics were kind of, it seems like it's gotten mostly good reviews from critics, but some critics were like, well, they would have liked it better if the movie had, like, taken a stand one way or the other, or built up the lore of, like, how this had happened. But I was like, that's not the point.
That's not the point of the movie.
Here's
the thing. If the movie takes a stand, it now becomes partial.
It becomes a polemic.
Every one of the factions that are portrayed in this movie see themselves as the good guy. That's the fucking point. And they are the good guys. But they're in an intractable problem. They have to kill somebody off. This is the way it really is. When you get into combat, your ideology means nothing. The only thing that matters is who is vaporizing who. Whose head is getting blown off. Who is winning and who is losing. That's all that matters. Everybody sees themselves as the good guys. The fucking Germans in World War II saw themselves as the good guys. So it doesn't matter. To take a stand is just to feed into the fucking concept of civil strife. It's opinion.
All right. Yeah, that's kind of why I like... Because like I said, I kind of feel like one criticism that I saw of the movie was that, you know, that it leaves it too vague. It doesn't do enough world building. Like, how did this happen? Like, because it basically... It doesn't really... There's little hints along the way about what might have happened, but it doesn't... there's no flashbacks. Mm. There's no nothing like that. It just puts you right in the middle of it.
Right.
And it's like, well, we're just in the middle of a civil war now. We're not... You know, you get a little bit of information about it here and there. But I kind of like that it did that, though, because I think it's making a bigger point than just...
Right. It's showing everybody the kind of shit that happens in these conflicts.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's from the point of view of a bunch of reporters who they're kind of impartial, and they're going between all these little armies and recording what's happening, trying to cover it. It's... It's not moralistic or about right and wrong. It's just about what happens. And the idea of the movie is it's showing you little scenes of the kind of shit that happens in a civil war.
Yeah.
And just gives you examples of it. I think it's a good, very basic fucking introduction to what happens when countries start falling apart and when factions start turning on one another. Now, that part was pretty accurate. What isn't real accurate, the only thing that I say, this was kind of not accurate, is that warfare is always dictated by geography. The United States is fucking big, all right? Buildings don't matter when a country starts breaking apart. The other factions wouldn't care who was in Washington, D.C. Those buildings don't mean anything to them. They would all have their own capitals. They would just leave. the loyalist states of America was actually just a few states that had Washington, D.C. They wouldn't have tried to regroup the U.S. And they wouldn't be the U.S. as you know them. They had a small army and it was mostly getting its ass kicked. And they lose. All right?
Spoiler alert.
They lose. Everyone is kind of shown just doing their job, and everyone's shown is that they're the heroes. There aren't any bad guys in this.
Well, there's
not a bunch of bad shit happens.
There's not really any heroes either.
No, not really.
Well, that's what I thought, yeah. And it's just kind of like, so I kind of feel like you could be forgiven for, because I saw the trailers for this too, like in the theater. You could be forgiven for thinking that this movie was going to be one way. It's absolutely not like that. No. This movie is like very nuanced.
Yeah.
It's not an action movie. There's action scenes in it.
Yeah.
But it's mostly like a dystopian road movie.
Yeah.
It's very like episodic.
Yeah.
It's very character driven. It does not glamorize the violence. It doesn't glamorize the battles. In fact, like a lot of the scenes like are actually really anxiety inducing.
Yeah.
And actually we saw it in Dolby, so it had like the surround sound and everything like that. So it was just like, so every if somebody gets shot suddenly, like everybody jumped, you know what I mean? But
and
Some of the scenes like really stress me out. really stress me out.
And you know, they just, and they're reporting from different armies. They're the Florida Alliance. They're with them for a little while, and they were the Florida Alliance was driving some soldiers from the Loyalist forces out. Like I said, they were claiming to be America, but they were only like maybe 7 or 8 states, so they're not the United States.
Right.
These are factions.
Everybody, it's just, yeah, it's a very factional.
Yeah, it's just factions.
It's not just like one side versus the other side. Right. It's little factions fighting each other. And it's like, and I think this does a good job too of like saying how in a country this large, you know, even just in this little, you know, 900-mile journey that they're making over the course of the movie, there's all kinds of confusion.
Yeah.
Like, some people are just kind of like, you know, like the scene with the two snipers, where they're just like, we don't know who's in that building,
they're
but he's shooting at us, so we're shooting back at him. They don't know whose side he's on. It doesn't matter.
And they go ahead and establish the facts of civil conflict. Doesn't matter if it was the Revolutionary War of the United States or the first Civil War. Most of the people stayed out of it.
And they show that
they
here,
show
too.
That. Most
they
people don't give a shit. They said that the most common response to this is people pretending that it's not happening. They just stayed home. Oh, that ain't real. That ain't real. They're kind of hung up in a past about the fantasy of the past. But they do show that in those places that are staying out of it, they show that they all have militia security up on the damn rooftops.
Yeah, I mean, they have
because police is not enough.
Right.
So there has to be a presence. You know, there's guys up there with fucking assault rifles and stuff. So they're keeping the peace with weapons because everything's very local. Very local.
Yeah.
They go through one place where they try to buy gas, but they won't accept U.S. dollars. They'll accept Canadian dollars, though. Those are worth something. U.S. dollars aren't worth anything. They pass the car wash, and there's guys hanging up in the car wash. One of the reporters goes down there to take pictures of it. And one of the guys that was guarding the gas station, he had I think it was an AK. He's just kind of a redneck guy. They said, "What's this?" And he goes, "Looters. They've been hanging there for a couple of days. We beat on them. You want me to kill one of them?"
They're still alive, yeah.
"Yeah, want me to kill one of them?" He says, "It doesn't really matter. We might let them go, though." So it's just, and that's what would happen. There wasn't any, the local law enforcement is enforced locally. If you fucking loot, you're taking your life into your hands. Because there wasn't a system to put people in prison. There wasn't really, in that area, there wasn't a court system or anything. It was just done by the people. So they're just showing you different things that happens in a fractured nation. This kind of shit happened all throughout Central and South America, Russia. When it was falling apart during the Bolshevik Revolution, there was all kinds of wild shits happened. The French Revolution was wild as fuck. Americans don't know it. The present day Americans don't know it because they weren't around from the last one. All kinds of shit happened in the South during Reconstruction, before and after, even during the Civil War. There were things called bummers. That's another story, though. Then trailer to the movie, there's a really cool fucking cut-up piece that shows what looks like a soldier. He's wearing fucking bright red glasses, and he's asking what kind of American you are. That is a fucking great scene in this movie.
That was like the scariest scene in the fucking movie. Jesse Plemons, and that's the only sequence that he's in.
Yeah.
He fucking killed it in that. That was a that whole scene, I was just like, my stomach was clenched that whole entire time.
They never really explain it. I take it that they're probably some kind of a militia guard, probably in Florida.
Yeah, they had the uniforms, but you were kind of led to believe that they'd gone rogue.
Well, the Florida and Texas have legal militias. Well, militias are illegal here. We have the Florida State Guard. All right, you can Google them. They look just like American soldiers. A lot of them are ex-American soldiers. And we had them since the 40s when they deployed all the National Guard to Europe. Florida came up with a second militia group to handle all the emergency stuff because we had hurricanes and floods and shit like that. And they're still around. And because of all this, the shit that's happening, they're reactivated. If you Google Florida State Guard, just Google the photos, you'll see them. They just look like American soldiers, and they're equipped about the same. They don't have armored vehicles, but they use their own vehicles, and I think they're all volunteers, but they're ex-military. So I think that guy was some kind of a state guard or a state-backed militia. And based upon what they showed and how the questions he was asking and what they were doing, they find these guys with a truck full of dead bodies, and then the pickup truck is dumping them all into a mass grave, and they're putting lie on them. They just walk up to him. Well, they arrest him. And they start asking him questions like, where are you from? And you get the idea. It's a really good scene. What's happened is those particular groups of soldiers have been told to maintain order in a world where you can't maintain order. The closest thing they can get to it is where you're from. If you're not from here, they kill you. Because they can control that. All right. So that's all they're doing. You're not from here. Bam! Okay. If you're from another country, they just kill you. And I guess they were going to go and ask him more questions about what they believed in. But then they would have to figure out if they were telling the truth or not. Shit like that happens. That happens all throughout Africa and African civil wars. Back then, they'd cut your hand off or your arm off to keep you from voting. They would just ask you short sleeve or long sleeve. That's the shit.
We talked
really
about that when we talked about Blood Diamond.
And that was, can you imagine being captured by an army of fucking just dudes? You know what I mean? They're just asking you to fucking accept long sleeve or short sleeve. And no matter what you answer, they're going to cut a piece of you off. They were doing shit like that. They didn't want to be caught disposing of all those bodies. And in those bodies, it showed children too.
Yeah.
But they were kind of half crazy. They were, they were losing it. That's a really good scene.
Yeah, like I said, I think that was easily the scariest scene in the
one
movie.
Of the best scenes, yeah.
And like I said, Jesse Plemons fucking killed it. Like I said, he's only in that one sequence. I did not know this, but he is married to Kirsten Dunst in real life.
Oh, okay. Yeah, people were saying that Kirsten Dunst was uglied up in this one.
They make her look pretty rough, but like I said, that's her character.
Yeah.
I mean, in the character, because I don't even think we talked about that. Because this thing, like I said, it's very... The Civil War is going on, obviously, and it's a big part of the plot, but we're focusing on four journalists.
Yeah.
Three of them are photojournalists, one of them is like a reporter. No, I think two of them are reporters and two of them are photojournalists. And so they're traveling from New York City to Washington, D.C. to get a story, and on the way down, they encounter encounters with all these different factions, and that's kind of like giving you this background of this tapestry of like what's been going on, but they're kind of like the through line, and it's almost kind of like, I kind of feel like the movie is about photojournalism in a way, or like old school journalism, the way they would, because there's
like
a lot
of honor with them.
Yeah, because there's like a whole lot of discussions, like Kirsten Dunst, who's kind of like the old, she's been doing it forever, she's like a war photographer and stuff like that, and she's seen it all, you know what I mean, and she's getting really jaded and thick-skinned and everything, and she's getting to a point where it's like she thinks that there's no point to it anymore, because it's like she says something in the movie later on where she's kind of like, I used to go to all these war zones like overseas, and I would send all these pictures back like thinking that I was warning people like, don't do this, you know what I mean? And she's like, and then the irony being that now it's happening on her own in her own country, and she's kind of like, past it. But I kind of feel like that there's a lot of talk about how they're supposed to be impartial observers. They're like, look, we're just trying to get in there because she's kind of the old seasoned war photographer. And then there's like a young, like a 23-year-old woman who's an up and coming one who like idolizes her, who wants to get into it, but is still like real naive and like real green. You know what I mean? So she's almost kind of like mentoring her. And it's almost kind of like the character arc of her is kind of, I don't want to say it's like losing her humanity, but
just getting numb.
She's getting numb to all of the stuff that's happening and almost kind of like getting off on it because there's kind of a thing where they're kind of like adrenaline junkies too.
They have PTSD.
Yeah.
They're addicted.
So a lot of it is about that.
Yeah, they're addicted to fucking high anxiety. It's a good movie. It's just being misunderstood. It's being misunderstood by people on the left and the right. They don't get it because they want themselves to be right in one way, to be correct. That's not what this movie's about. It doesn't really matter what you think because it shows you in the movie, once society starts breaking down, where it shows that there's a lot of power outages, money doesn't work, law enforcement doesn't work.
There's people in stadiums, like in tent cities and shit.
Most of the people that cared about all this left, right, and dichotomy and this right and wrong thing, they're out of the picture. They're trying to stay out of it. Their head's in the sand. They're hiding. The only people that matter in this situation are the combatants, the people that are actually fighting and killing each other. And they're showing them fucking doing heroism. No matter who they are, they're all kind of brave because they're fighting for power, their side winning. It doesn't matter if it's right and wrong. They don't care. That's out the window. Everybody else is just trying to keep their heads down and keep from getting killed by one of the factions.
And
according to what they showed there, you had, when they were burying all those bodies, that particular area was killing their own people.
It looked like.
If they suspected them not being loyal to the faction that they were in.
Right.
So no one was safe. That's typical.
And yeah, so like I said, I think it was like a really nuanced look at like what would actually happen if, you know, and I think he doesn't really specify like when this takes place. Obviously it's sometime in the future because the president, who I don't think they ever say what the president's name is, but he's played by Nick Offerman.
Yeah.
And
he's only
only in the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
Because it's almost kind of like he doesn't matter. He just kind of like bookends the film. He's just this kind of distant
figurehead.
But I thought the implication was, like I said, they don't really explain like how the Civil War started or when it started or anything like that. But they do kind of imply that he pulled some shenanigans, like, you know, he got his way into a third term and he disbanded the FBI and he used drone strikes on citizens and stuff like that. So they're kind of implying maybe that's why Texas and California seceded, because of that nonsense.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's kind of left vague and like ambiguous. Because he's just interested in examining, really, like I said, the human toll of war. Because the thing about this too, and like I said, because you know how some war movies, this almost kind of slightly reminded me of Apocalypse Now a little bit.
Yeah.
Mixed with a zombie movie.
Yeah, more like Walking Dead.
Yeah, somebody mentioned that.
More like Walking Dead.
Yeah, well, you know, the guy that directed this, Alex Garland, who is British, by the way, he actually didn't direct it, but he wrote the screenplay for 28 Days Later. Danny Boyle directed that. He also, this same director also did Annihilation and Ex Machina. So this is a beautiful looking movie, as all of his movies are.
Yeah. Acting's good.
I also love the sound design. The acting in this is really good too. And like I said, I think it was a really smart idea to focus so heavily on the four journalists, like the four characters. Because you're seeing things. It's interesting because they have like the younger one, who's the character's name is Jesse, and she's played by Kaylee Spaney. I guess she was in that movie that about Priscilla Presley that just came out not too long ago. Priscilla, she was supposed to be really good in that, but she's in this too, like playing this young reporter, and you know, she's completely a novice at the beginning. She doesn't even have a Kevlar thing or anything. She's, you know, there's suicide bombers and shit like that, and she doesn't even know what she's doing. But as it goes on, she kind of starts getting an adrenaline rush for it and then, like, putting herself in danger. Because she almost kind of gets the thing where it's like, it's like this thing
in the middle of a firefight taking pictures of it.
Yeah, and she's just like jumping out in the middle trying to take pictures, like as it goes on, because she's kind of scared at first, but then she kind of like gets into it. Because the thing about it, the character of Joel, who's a reporter, and he's him and Kirsten Dunst's character, whose name is Lee, they've, you know, it's implied that they've been colleagues for a really long time and they travel together a lot. The guy that plays Joel, by the way, what's his name? Wagner Moura. He's Brazilian, actually. And he's also great in this. He's a great character. And he, at one point, like, they kind of stop while they're on this road trip and, you know, to sleep in the truck or whatever. And they see, like, all these, you know, rockets and missiles and shit like that, like, over there, and hear all this gunfire, and they're like, ooh, if that's still going on in the morning, we're gonna go see what's going on, you know what I mean? Because they're all, you know, they're all very seasoned to this, so they're like, they kind of get off on it a little bit. They just want to get that photo, they want to see what's going on, they want to get themselves in the mix a little bit. And he even says something like, it's like, you know, he hears all of the gunfire in the distance. He's like, that is making me very hard right now. It's like, you know what I mean? So he wanted to, like, get over there and get in the middle of it and see what was going on. But so I like that they made, because it could have been, I feel like it could have been really easy to make the journalists heroic or, you know, some of the, or to, like I said, to kind of take sides with, like, some of the factions. It's like, these ones are heroic and these are villains and stuff like that. But the movie does not do that.
No, they were all about the same.
They were all,
which is, that's
humans. Yeah, it was a very realistic, a very, like, nuanced portrayal of, like, all of the parties involved. Everybody had flaws. Everybody thought they were doing the right thing.
Yeah, everybody thought they were the good guys.
Right.
Which, from their point of views, they were. It was just what the story is saying is that it can get so bad that negotiation is not possible, and that something like this happens. Most people will bow out. You're just going to be left with people who are willing to kill and die for what they believe in, and that's how it's going to go down. And that's how it always goes down.
Yeah, and like I said, I think that was why this film resonated a lot with me, was because it's really one of the most realistic war movies. I mean, I guess, if you could call it a war movie, which I don't know, I guess it kind of is.
The Loyalist States, what they were trying to do is reunite America. They saw most of the other, they saw the other factions as traitors and that they had to be punished or killed. So, of course, they're not going to negotiate. They're going to fight. So the other two factions were just fighting to get rid of the Loyalist government so they can install their own. And then they become America, basically. It's not the way it would really happen in real life. Here, it would probably happen more like the Soviet Union. It would just break apart. The military would vanish because they'd all go home. They'd mostly take their equipment with them, just like they did in the Soviet Union. Then they'd have their own banners and flags. And then they would make new unions, and if there was any disagreement, they'd just fight each other, which is what happened in the Balkans, in Eastern Europe. That's, it would be like that. That's why there was the only hokey thing about the movie is that they were fighting to recapture Washington, D.C., like they were trying to recapture the Holy Land or something.
Well, and they just wanted to take out the head of the federal government, I guess, is what they were. Even though you could have, like, a goal to work toward,
yeah,
which I
even
guess.
Though he didn't seem to have much power, there wasn't, they didn't, well, like, he didn't have nuclear weapons.
Well, I kind of feel like it had got to the point, because even the whole point of the journalists going to D.C. was, they're like, well, we heard that the Western forces, which was California and Texas and some of Florida, were like, they were in Charlottesville, Virginia, right? So they were getting close to D.C. and it's like, oh, word is that they might, like, you know, overrun or whatever. So it's like, they're like, we need to get down there and, like, interview the president and, like, take pictures of him and stuff like that before any of that happens, before he gets executed or anything like that, because that's what they called the last story left. So that's what they were trying to do, like, when they get down there. Yeah. But I kind of feel like the thing about it, though, and I like that they kind of, like I said, somebody said don't worry about spoilers because it's like a war movie and stuff. But I kind of feel like at the end, when the Western forces win, it kind of leaves it ambiguous. It's like, well, is everybody better off now, or is it just kind of be the same? It's just going to be the same.
Yeah,
and I kind of, like I said, I kind of feel like that was the whole point of the movie, is that no one is served by any of this.
There were, well, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
We're not really given enough background. Based on what we're shown, this has been going on for probably about 15 to 20 years.
Yeah,
so there was a bunch of bad blood between them all.
Yeah.
They show that Texas and California are working together, and that California has a bunch of allies too. And right now, you go, well, that's unlikely because they're like polar opposites. California is very blue. Texas is pretty red. They wouldn't follow along the same lines. But the thing is that in warfare, man, always unexpected political shit happens. You don't know.
And the thing about
what
it, too.
Hold on, let me finish. What I think happened, based on what they showed, is that Texas seceded from the Union and became independent. The Western forces, which included California, was trying to topple the Loyalist government, and then Texas signed on to that war in a joint operation. In other words, they were working together, but they were two separate nations.
Yeah, enemy of my enemy.
Right. And then, which that's usually how it goes. And then the Florida uprising was, what did they call the guys? Fucking boogie boys? No. What did they call the dudes? They were wearing their fucking...
They didn't call them that in the movie.
They didn't call them that, but they're wearing their Hawaiian shirts over their, you know, underneath their fucking web gear and everything. They were the, what do they call those guys?
The Boogaloo Boys?
Boogaloo Boys, yeah. Which were just, if you're not in the United States, what the Boogaloo Boys were is, like, a couple years back when all the Antifa demonstrations were happening, dudes that went to young guys who were into the Second Amendment and into shooting guns would show up to those protests and just stand around. Okay, they sometimes hung out with the Antifa guys. All right, they didn't like them that much, but they weren't at war with each other. They were like, yeah, the federal government's fucked up. You know, they're not treating us right. So, you know, so that's who those dudes were. Now, what happened with them eventually is that they just kind of became a meme. They didn't really do anything. But in this one, the Florida Alliance, their troops wore fucking Hawaiian shirts. Because they were... But they show them fighting, and they show some good shit. And they show them as they were. They had a black guy who was on their team pinned down under fire, and they're trying to pop smoke to get him out from underneath there while Loyalist forces were trying to tear him up. But they kicked ass on the Loyalists. The Loyalists seemed to be the weakest faction in the movie. They had a kind of a veneer of official, but they weren't really. They just happened to be in Washington, D.C. and have a couple of New England states.
And like I said, they kind of got overrun in that.
They got overrun, yeah.
But the thing about it, like I said, and I kind of feel like I saw a lot of that shit too. It's like, oh, it's really unrealistic. This is an alternate reality type thing. Two, I kind of feel like people that are saying, oh, California and Texas would never team up are, I think they're like...
they're delusional.
It's too simplistic.
Yeah.
Because look, California and Texas are massive states with massive populations and massive economies.
Yeah.
I don't know if people outside of the thing knows, because I know California has like a reputation for being super liberal and stuff like that, but there is a lot of really red pockets
in
California, just as there are a lot of blue pockets in Texas.
Yeah.
It's not as black and white as...
When you look at California, what they would call Western California, that's Southern California, anything along the coast, that's blue. But the rest of it is all red.
Yeah.
And I was a kid, I grew up there. When you go up to the fucking Yosemite or the National Forest, man, they were rednecks, California rednecks. But
yeah.
They were their own thing, though. They liked smoking weed and hippie type shit.
Right.
You know, so
but
they
still,
were, they liked guns. They were.
They have a lot more in common than people think. Right.
So really all it would take was an emergency and a shift in the voting habits for something like that to happen. Like, we got to get rid of this fucking corrupt government that is occupying D.C. illegally.
Yeah,
and then Texas signs on. They go, yeah, we do. And then the Florida Alliance says, we're gonna help you too.
And I think there was a throwaway line in the movie that once it was all said and done, if the Western forces won, then California and Texas would probably start fighting each other again.
Yeah,
I thought it was like red.
Well, the old black guy who was the reporter says that as soon as Washington D.C. is taken out of the picture, these factions will start fighting each other.
Yeah,
I remember it correctly,
that's very accurate.
Right.
Like I said, I didn't really see any everything in this, like I said, is messy and it's nothing is black and white. Like I said, there's no heroes, there's no villains.
And that's what it'd be like if you were moving through the battle
and
space.
And that's what it would be like in
battle
real life.
Battle space is a chaos.
This is almost like a documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's and it's shot. I like the way he shot some of the sequences, like when there are, you know, street fights and riots and stuff like that. They shoot it as though the photographers are watching it. So sometimes it'll be really loud and then it'll stop and then like you'll see the photograph that they took. So it's almost kind of like harkening back, like I said, to the old days of photojournalism, of these like really impactful images. And I like that he shot it like that. I think that was really effective.
Now, the one scene with the sniper counter sniper scene, they roll up on a scene that just doesn't look right. A damn bubble machine and a fucking Santa Claus fucking thing. Like, come on in. It's going to be... And this is in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
And they're going, what the fuck is this?
It's like, is it
and
like then, mini golf or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, then, the car gets... Their vehicle gets shot at. And they make a run for it and hide behind some cover. And then there's another sniper team who's shooting back with them. And I take... People have made much about it, you know what I mean, in the fucking trailer. The sniper's got different colored fingernail polish. And if you look at his hair had been dyed camouflage. They were fucking... I believe... Those were Florida Alliance guys. I think they were Boogaloo boys, basically. Some people were saying, oh, are they saying gays in the military? What are they saying? No, those dudes were fucking just a good cyber team. They were crazy. They're just doing crazy
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I think, well, that's kind of the interesting thing about this film is that people are going to map their own biases onto it.
Yeah.
And I think that Alex Garland knew that going in.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think that was why it was kind of a genius move for him to make everything that...
Yeah.
Ambiguous, because things could be, like, interpreted any way you want. So, because people are going to bring their own biases to it, like I said, and people are going to read into it whatever they want to read into
like some,
it.
They said that they were slandering the, on the right, they were saying, boy, they really portrayed those Boogaloo boys badly when they killed those American soldiers. It was not the same America that you're thinking of. The loyalist American forces was a small army just holding on to shit. They killed some of their guys, and I went up in there. They killed one dude because he was mortally wounded anyway. My unit would have done that in that situation. They didn't have medical evacuation, or you couldn't fucking heal the guy or save him. What are you going to do? Let him writhe around in pain. He's shot up full of fucking bullet holes, half his fucking blood gone. You can't help him medically, so they just plugged him. But if you do that during ambushes, though. I was trained to do that. You know, you fucking... sweep through the kill zone and fucking kill anybody who's not dead laying there on the ground. Then you go back in there once the ambush is called, once they call the ceasefire, and you go back into the kill zone and take anything that's important that they may have and then run the fuck out of there. Then you wait, see if there was a indirect fire response like mortars. And if that doesn't happen, that means the enemy didn't know that you killed those guys. So you can now go in there and have more time and pick through their stuff and steal radios and listen, try to figure out what frequency they were on, if they had maps, if they had... Because there's an investigative process after you kill an enemy unit. You want to know where they're going and who they belong to and shit, you know? That's for MI. But no, the movie's accurate.
Xander said, a lot of war journalists say they don't have any fear because being behind the camera lens dissociates them from the violence happening around them.
Yeah,
they don't really go... I don't think it's like a super heavy-handed thing, but I think that's kind of like... You can kind of get the gist of that from this movie. One of the best things... I love this scene, too, where it's like Lee, who's played by Kirsten Dunst, who's the older photojournalist. She's talking to the younger one, like the 23-year-old kid. And... She says, something like, don't come crying to me, like, you know, if you get blown up or shot or whatever, like, I'm not responsible.
Yeah.
And Jesse, the younger one, says to her, it's like, you know, if I get shot, are you going to take a picture of it?
Yeah.
And Kirsten Dunst just looks at her and goes, what do you think?
Yeah. Now, getting back to the sniper team, I heard some guys on the right say, oh, no, that's a bullshit scene. How could they not know who they're fighting? Easy. The United States is a patchwork quilt. They may have been in an area where a couple guys didn't agree with what was going on, so they were going out there killing fucking the soldiers from that area. In other words, it was an uprising against possibly the Florida Alliance. You know, it might have been a loyalist inside of Florida. That's why they were fucking killing people and throwing them in damn mass graves. They might have supported the loyalist government.
Either that or they just didn't really care enough to, like, so, check anymore.
This thing where you're walking around and somebody shot at you, you don't know who it is, that's accurate. You don't know if that was loyalist forces or just a ragtag resistance fighter who doesn't agree with what you're fighting for. Anything could happen.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of why this movie is maybe... I mean, it's kind of disturbing. The movie's kind of disturbing.
I liked it.
I did too, but I found it kind of disturbing. Like I said, because it's so realistic, because it's not making... And the thing about it too that I really liked, if that's the word, is that all of the death... Because you know how sometimes you see war films? And like I said, it's almost kind of like glamorizing it. Like, you know, hundreds of people get mowed down and it's like no big deal. In this, when somebody gets killed, you feel it. It's kind of like, I mean, it really does kind of resonate. It really does show you kind of close up and personal what it's like. Even if you don't know who that person was, like that character, like just the fact that you're right there in it. And it's just, it really does a good job of like showing what that would be like on the ground.
Yeah, and I like the opening scene opens up Kristen Dunst. I think was it Kristen Dunst who was covering the riot?
Where
a uniform and a fucking bomber set himself off.
Yeah, it was a suicide bomber.
That looked, it was like an Antifa protest. Cops got involved.
Well, they were trying to get water.
Who was trying to get water?
There was a water truck. They were trying to get water, and then like the authorities, whoever they were like trying to push people off, like so they couldn't get water.
Yeah, and it looked like Antifa and just a mixed crowd of people, and then. The cops, and when the cops got involved out of the middle of nowhere, somebody explodes in the middle of that crowd. Never answered why.
Yeah.
Or who it was.
But like I said,
that's the way it would actually be.
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
Could have been somebody who didn't like Antifa from that area, says, I'm going to kill myself, we're all dead anyway. Goes to the damn Antifa demonstration, waits till there's a whole bunch of people in a crowd around him, sets himself off. Just because the dude did that doesn't mean there was state backing. In a civil war, you're your own state. It's tribal warfare. Tribal.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's what
so,
it is.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I liked about it. And maybe I think that maybe that's what is making some people mad. I think that some people wanted this movie to take a specific stand on something.
Yeah, that would have been a mistake.
I don't. That like I said, that's not really the point that he's making.
It's not what they're talking
movie.
About.
That's right, not what the movie is about.
The America that they're showing is far beyond politics. That time's over. They're just killing other factions. They're killing their enemies. And trying to take over. You can't talk with them. Ideology is not being discussed anymore. It's just, we don't like you. You're out of here.
Yeah, it's like
that's
it's
usually
like,
how it goes.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't even matter.
It's usually
anymore.
How it goes. Once the killing
Which
starts.
Which is what's so scary about
once
it.
Once the killing starts, people that you would call like normal people want nothing to do with it and they hide. Only the combatants are now taking a part of it and they're trying to slaughter one another. And what they're slaughtering each other for at the time that they're doing it may have been nothing. May not be the ideology they had when the fucking war started. Their ideology changed over the months and the years. Now it's not, well, I don't agree with the left. Now it's like, no, I want to kill people from up north. It's fucking mutated into that, where it's a lot more tribal. I'm going to kill anyone who's not from my area. That kind of shit.
Yeah, and it seems like it's gotten to that point in some areas. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because that one guardsman, only thing he cared, because they couldn't really... establish order because they didn't have an information flow. Mass communication wasn't really there. There wasn't a command and control element. Didn't seem to be happening. It was more like tribal warfare. According to what they showed in that particular scene, that militia was just asking people where they were from. And if you weren't from the local area, you were dead.
If you weren't from one of the correct states.
Because you could control that. They couldn't control anything else.
That was pretty much all they asked.
Yeah, that was the only control. And they were kind of half crazy from it.
Yeah. Well, like I said, that was like...
Yeah, and that is accurate.
There's a lot of good scenes in this.
That's usually how it goes down.
But that scene
yeah,
kind of made me want to throw up a little bit. It just made me very, very nervous. Well, the thing about it is that, like I said, it's just really not... And another thing, too, I wanted to bring this up, because I think you said something about the weird musical choices.
Yeah.
There are a lot of really weird musical choices and like, but I kind of dug that though.
Yeah,
is very like incongruous.
Yeah, horrible shit were happening, but then they're fucking playing music that's kind of upbeat and kind of like cool rock.
Sort of, but like weird
in a weird way. Yeah, I think they were.
I kind of dug it though. I could get why people would be like, "What the fuck?" But it's like I kind of liked
what
that.
What I think they were referring to is that the people involved in the combat are actually seeing this as their genesis and their history and part of their fight for survival or their fight for power, I guess you could say. So for them, this is this will be a historical event, like the Battle of Gettysburg, or you know what I mean, the Battle of Bull Run, or fucking right. Pearl Harbor. Everybody involved with those, the people involved with those battles, some sides are saying that that's their moment of glory.
Yeah, they're like mythologizing.
They're mythologizing, like when they're going to look back with their grandkids, like, yeah, I was at the Battle of Toledo, Ohio. You know, this shit like that. That's what I'm talking about.
It's going to be like that.
That's what they were doing.
Which, yeah, that's a good observation, actually.
When they killed the president, it was like that. Yeah! Like they had just killed Saddam Hussein, and it's portrayed right. as a great thing.
Even though the dude was just, like, hiding under a
he
desk.
He was hiding under a desk, though. Don't let them kill me. Yeah, and this black chick from the fucking...
Oh, my God, that, like, from, that,
from the,
like I said...
the Western Alliance just killed him.
We're past to the point of, like, spoiling and stuff, I say I loved... Because the whole point, like, Joel, the one who was, like, the print reporter, you know, the writer... he wanted to get a quote from the president this whole time, and they were kind of like batting back and forth, like the questions he was going to ask him and all this other stuff. And then he was kind of pissed because, like, by the time they got to DC, you know, the Western forces had mostly taken over, and, like, you know, the president was what they thought, oh my God, he's going to get killed before we can even talk to him and shit like that. And, you know, he gets dragged out front of the fucking desk, and they're going to kill him, right? And Joel's just like, no, it's like, let me get a quote, you know? And then it's like, the dude's like, what's the quote? And he's like, please don't kill me. And he goes, That'll do.
And then they killed him. Yeah, that was at the final finale.
I loved that.
The reporters have joined up with the Western Alliance. They meet him at a big bivouac where they were fucking the forces were gaining up, which shows you that the loyalist states did not really have an air force or the ability to do satellite reconnaissance, and they couldn't do airstrikes very well because that would have never happened against a healthy United States. This was an unhealthy government in Washington, D.C. They weren't powerful. So they're all grouping up in a big rally point, like a bivouac. And then our reporters join up with them there. Then they do the final assault into Washington, D.C. You get to see that. It's pretty good. And what you end up seeing is Western forces fighting their way into the White House, fighting what they call diehard Secret Service agents and fucking, what was they? Fanatics is what they called them. Fanatics and diehard. So... each side is seeing the other as the enemy. These are diehard fanatics and fucking...
Yeah, and it's like, and you don't really have any context for whether they actually are or not because you weren't here for the start of all this.
I think they probably were.
But like I said, I think that was like a good decision to so everyone could kind of bring their own
shit. They end up going into the fucking press corps room that you see on television all the time. And the secretary was a young black chick. She comes out. She goes, "I would like to negotiate for the surrender of the thing. You must assure his survival. You must ensure his safety." They just plug her. Pow.
Well, at first there was like, "Oh yeah,
they talked about bring his ass out.
We'll ensure his safety."
Yeah. They just killed her.
Just bring him on out here.
Yeah.
You know, they had no intention.
Yeah.
Phantom says, "Are there any fighter jet scenes in this film?"
I don't think so.
No, it's not Top Gun.
Helicopters.
There's helicopters.
Helicopters and a few tanks.
A lot of it's just like gunfights. Like I said, a lot of it is just kind of like fractional warfare.
Some people were saying, well, why wasn't the United States using all their high-tech weaponry to stop this? The United States that you're thinking of no longer existed.
Yeah, this is supposed to be in the future.
It was just
at some point.
Washington, D.C. and a couple of states. They lost their nuclear arsenal. They didn't have an Air Force anymore. Didn't look like they had an army.
Not really.
Because all that stuff requires tax revenue to fund. The tax revenue's gone. So you can't... And a lot of the soldiers went back home. That's what happened in the Soviet Union. Soviet Union class without a shot. Then Eastern Europe started fighting each other. Okay. And a lot of people don't know the American system. You don't really need the federal government. Each state has its own state constitution. And a lot of them are just as good or better than the federal U.S. Constitution. They still have the same rights... freedom of speech, freedom of fucking, you know, life, liberty. They're very American. Every one of the constitutions in these states is very American. And it was the second echelon or the backup to the federal system. In case the federal system failed, states could now run on their fucking state system. That's what was happening.
Yeah, it seemed like a lot of that had gone on.
But the strong superpower America that you're thinking of is not in this movie. It's long gone.
Yeah, like I said, they don't specify how long it's been.
At least 15 years.
But it seems like it's been at least 15 years. Because shit's not that different, but it's, you know, different enough. Like, some shit's gone down, obviously.
And they make the movies where all the factions are familiar to an American. they're all familiar, but they're not all, none of them are really in charge, including Loyalist States of America. They're just in the White House, that's all. And in Washington, D.C. Evidently, they've driven everybody else out. It's just them.
Yeah.
So, is that America? No. No. It's just a remnant calling itself America, or the federal government.
Yeah, it's not like, you can't extrapolate the shit in the movie, because like I said, this is like an alternate timeline, or like an alternate history, an alternate future. It's not like...
It is showing what happens,
though. It's realistic, but you can't say, like, oh, well, this is the way shit is now, so it's not realistic for a movie that's taking place. It's like, you can't really...
Yeah, it is realistic. If that much of the United States seceded from the United States, the original United States, or the loyalists in the United States, would be broke. They wouldn't have the military they had before. That's what happened in the Soviet Union. Their military vanished overnight because they went home. And here they'd be going back to their home states. And then they'd have a constitution there to fight for. And then new unions bunching up. And that's what they show. That's what would happen. That's how it would happen. And then the America that is now the sole occupier of Washington, D.C., that's just a political party in buildings. That's not really a reality. They're not getting the tax revenue they used to get. They're not fucking conducting the same kind of economy or... And for all we know, every one of those factions had their own diplomatic corps talking to foreign countries. So it's going to go that way. All of a sudden, four countries are here, all calling themselves America. The Confederacy called itself the Confederate States of America. Its founder is George Washington. It's right there on their fucking Confederate money bills. It wasn't a new country. They thought they were the real America in the South.
Yeah, and it seems like this is more that kind of situation. Yeah. Xanadu says, ambiguous is always best. I hate when movies hold your hand the whole time. Yeah, same here. So like I said, I think that was a wise decision. And like I said, I think it was a wise decision to focus on the four main characters who are all photojournalists, who are, at least in theory, supposed to have like an objective, impartial, they're just observing what's going on. Like even, I don't remember if I mentioned this, but basically... Kirsten Dunst's character is like, the younger photojournalist getting all upset about something, about the looters, you know what I mean? At the gas station. Let me finish.
Okay, yeah.
And she basically says, look, our job is just to observe and take photos. It's for other people to figure shit out. We're just showing them the reality of what's going on. Right. We are not taking a moral stance one way or the other. Yeah. We're just showing them so other people ask questions about it. That's not our job.
To Xanadu, answer your question. Yes, it's much better than Red Dawn. Much better.
Yeah, it's Dawn is fun, but Red Dawn is much more clearly delineated in the sense of heroes and villains. This one, like I said, does not have heroes and villains. Everyone is just a human. It's very
what they believe in.
Yeah, and it's just very realistic in the sense that there aren't really any sides.
They were all kind of good guys in a way.
And they were all kind of bad guys in a way, too. Yeah,
because it gets very gray. It gets very morally... Your moral judgment gets very clouded in these extreme situations. Every faction sees themselves as the real America, including the loyalists that were in the D.C. area. But according to everybody else, they were kind of not very legitimate. They were airstriking people in years prior to this. The guy had kind of like talked his way into a third term. There wasn't any system to keep him in check in terms of legal systems.
Right.
He was a despot. So it was not... And here's the thing. The federal government could do that. Can do that easily. They declare a state of emergency. And they say, we can't hold an election because most of the country is against us. There are these other factions. Once we get them in line, then we can hold elections. So the president can stay there forever. It's an emergency time. So, yeah, that shit like that could happen here.
And that's actually accurate. Like, if some shenanigans like that did go down, then yeah, you could totally see like a couple states being like, right. Yeah, no, bro.
But the optics would be very bad to the rest of the fucking... And another thing is, all the dude talked about is how everybody else is a bunch of fucking traitors.
Yeah.
You're not going to get people to sign back on to the Federation if you're fucking calling them an enemy. Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, maybe he probably knew his fucking days were numbered.
Yeah, and somebody said, why didn't he hightail it? Yeah, in reality, a dude like that would have fucking fled. As soon as the war started to turn.
Because, like I said, he's not in it for very long. No. He's just the beginning. But the way that they portray him, he does come across as just kind of like an empty suit and kind of a coward.
Yeah, yeah. And so why didn't he hightail it? He was in there for three terms, so he didn't hightail it. He had a firm grip on power in his mind. He thought he didn't want to step down. But in reality, as soon as the war turned against him, he would have run. See, here's the detail we haven't said. When the assault on the fucking Capitol happened, their army had surrendered already.
Yeah.
The war was over when they did that. Their forces surrendered. The only people protecting the president at that time were what they called them diehard Secret Service and extremists is what was still in there. That's what they called them. And from their point of view, that's probably true. Extremists and diehard extremists.
Phantom says, in the movie poster, it shows a bunch of snipers in a makeshift nest of a statue. Torch, is that the Statue of Liberty? Yeah, it's a great poster. That doesn't happen in the movie.
It's not in the movie, yeah.
But, you know, that's artistic license. But that is a good image. You know, and it's kind of like with the spirit.
It's a good flick.
I really liked it. I mean, I thought it was really good. Like, and like I said, I can see how maybe some people, but it is an A24 movie, so I'm going to say it's not an action movie.
It has action in it, though.
Yeah. But I would not call it an action movie. No. It's, like I said, it's very character-based. There are long sequences that are very, very quiet, that are just kind of like discussions between people. It does actually kind of remind me of like more like a post-apocalyptic or dystopian, like, you know, like The Road or Walking Dead or something. It's more like that, but with intermittent, horrifying action sequences, if that makes sense.
It's post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, that's absolutely what it is.
Yeah, and because the U.S. is broken apart, there isn't a good infrastructure of supply. Gas is being rationed in the certain areas. Needed a license to get gas. Power was intermittent, so power production was not good. There was no criminal justice system in most of the factions.
At least the places they passed through.
At least the places they were in. Vigilantes and local vigilantes were enforcing laws. And mostly the law that they were enforcing seemed to be looting and stealing.
Yeah, so it was kind of going back to
like that. Yeah, they try to, you know, they kind of make the guys that were hanging up sympathetic. They're hanging them around their arms and they're fucking tied and shit. One dude, his fucking skull's all busted up. His head is all fucking swollen. And they go, yeah, they're a bunch of fucking looters, basically. The dude says, well, I got kids. But that didn't, in a situation like that, that wouldn't help you. Because everybody has kids. If you steal from other people that have kids. So that was... The lesson there was that when the shit goes fucking haywire, goes rogue, you still have to act right in certain situations. Other people will kill you. But that's the way the Wild West was. And a lot of the United States is still like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, it reminded me more of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like I said, if you're not in the mood to see something like that Cormac McCarthy, like the movie that was based on the Cormac McCarthy thing, The Road, this isn't as soul-crushing as that. Mm. But it's a similar vibe, I'm going to say. Like I said, it's like a zombie movie, but without the zombies. Like I said, you can kind of tell that this was the same, obviously it was the same writer as 28 Days Later. Yeah. It's also the same writer as Dredd, the Dredd remake from 2012, which was a good flick. But Zach says, man, all the reviews I've heard for this movie are all over the place.
Yeah, well, it's because it did not kowtow to the left or the right. It was very neutral. It just shows what fucking Civil War is like. Civil War is fucking murder.
Like I said, it's almost it's almost documentary style, want to say. Like, the way it's shot in places.
Yeah.
Like, it still has a beautiful, like, the cinematography of it is really nice and everything like that. But he's trying to, like, maintain some kind of, like, objectivity.
Yeah. It's four different factions. None of them are that legitimate. They're all just kind of homegrown. It's a populist uprising. Yeah, that's what it is. And a lot of people don't want to hear that. They want their side to be right. If you're on the left, you want their side to be right, then the right's bad. The right wants their side to be, the left deserves what we're doing. But the left-right dynamic will go right out the window as soon as the killing starts. The movie says that. Most people hide and pretend like it's not happening. That's the typical behavior of civilians in any civil war situation, all throughout Africa, Central and South America, they're in a bar drinking, and they look at the fucking television at the end of the bar, and it's showing, oh, yeah, one faction is now shelling the other faction. Oh, well, nothing to do with me. Fuck those dudes. You know, and that might only be 20 miles away. You know? But that was... So the movie's accurate.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's always
they did
like
their research.
Uncomfortably accurate.
Yeah, the movie's accurate.
And like I said, you know, maybe it's because, I mean, Alex Garland, the guy that directs this, is not American. He's British, but, you know. Xanadu said, no one wants another preachy movie that takes a stance. Sounds like this movie did it right as far as filmmaking goes. Yeah, and like
it's
I said,
for everybody to watch.
It's almost, like I said, it's almost the Civil War stuff, like the background of it is, I don't want to say it's incidental. Because it's obviously like a big part of the plot, but
it's more like a backdrop.
It's more like a backdrop for the four main characters, and they're kind of like coming to terms with their various ways of looking at the world, and like their, you know, the way they've become like hardened to this kind of shit like over the years. You know
whoever
what I mean?
Wrote the story and wrote these scenes. They didn't pull this out of their ass. They did their research. This is the kind of things that happen in a civil war. Everything that's shown is the kind of things that happen. Some guys go, well, what about all that drone technology? All that technology would be long gone by then. Because the money and the infrastructure to make that shit no longer exists. And they use up high-tech weapons. None of those are left.
Yeah, because they do say that he did drone strikes... Earlier. Like, and that was one of the things
that
maybe...
They can't do them now.
Right.
Which means that the situation has deteriorated. Yeah. Every faction is at, like, kind of like at the early 1900s level. They can make fuel.
I mean, some of them got, like, tanks and, like, they got shit like that.
Right. But... It's an American tank that they basically commandeered from their National Guard or the military base that was in their state when this state seceded. Same thing that happened in the Balkans and fucking in Eastern Europe. Soviet Union fell apart. Say if you were from Georgia and you were in Russia and you were fucking and your job in the army was to drive a tank, you go to your unit and says, oh shit, man, everybody's running, the fucking Soviet Union's over, who else lives in Georgia? I live in Georgia. Okay, pile in, we're going home. And they'd ride that tank all the way back to Georgia and turn it in at basically the Georgian equivalent of a National Guard depot. So all those little fucking Eastern European states, they ended up with armies, but it was all Soviet equipment. They just commandeered it and ran home with it. They were evidently stealing fuel along the way and everything. You know, you're in a tank. If somebody tells you, give me some fuel, you're going to get it. Or they're going to blow your building up.
John Gore said the budget was 50 mil. I guess A24 isn't exactly low budget anymore. Well, they said that, I kind of heard this earlier, but they were kind of like, well, you know, their focus is mainly on smaller indie films, but they're like, well, we do got to kind of make some bigger ones every now and then. They do have like a much higher profile nowadays. This is, I don't think I would call this an art film, but it's not, like I said, it's not probably what you're expecting. And it's not, especially from the trailers, I think people might be expecting it to be a certain way, and it's not like that.
Xanadu said, well, I guess in a situation like this, it'd be back to lynch mobs. Yeah.
Posses
and lynch mobs.
And they're showing that.
Because there's no criminal justice system. If word got out you committed some crime, the local sheriff would fucking deputize 10, 20 guys that all grab their assault rifles, pile into a truck, and fucking go to your house. And they might have a quick little trial. Might be like, yeah, you've been accused of this fucking crime, and we know you did it because she saw it, he saw it, and you saw it. So, by the powers invested in me, by the Florida Alliance, you're sentenced to death. You're hereby sentenced to hang until dead. And they'd do it. It'd be very American. That happens all throughout fucking 1800s, 1700s. The sheriff could just kill somebody, basically, in an emergency situation. If they were out in the field and they weren't anywhere near where the judges were, they'd just kill you there.
Yeah,
you know, some of them would take you back to the judge, but if you were deep in one of those American territories, even before they were officially part of America, no, the lawman killed you on the spot.
CB compares it to Last of Us. Yeah, it is a little bit like that as well. Phantom said, "Do any war scenes happen in Hollywood?" No, nothing. It's a road trip. It starts in New York City. And it's them going down to D.C. But they have to kind of take a little bit of a circuitous route through. I think they go through part of Pennsylvania and Virginia and stuff like that, like to get there because of various roadblocks and various no-go zones and stuff like that. But it's just so it's mostly like East Coast type situation, you know? Is this film purchase worthy or a one-time watch kind of film? I think it's worth buying. I don't know. You'd have to be in a, like I said, it's one of those movies you have to be in a particular mood to watch it again. Because like I said, it's not a good time. It's not as depressing as The Road or something like that, but it's along those lines. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of the scenes, as I mentioned, are very character focused. And like, so if you're expecting like a nonstop battle, shoot 'em up, stuff like that, it's absolutely not like that at all. There's like a lot of scenes that are very, very slow that are just kind of like characters talking and, you know, kind of having existential crises about stuff like that. So it's like, if that sounds like that's not going to be your cup of tea, then you probably won't like this. But because it's not an action film by any stretch of the imagination. No, there is no nudity. I don't. There isn't any nudity, is there? No.
No, they're talking about nudity?
Yeah.
No, Fantabasso. You know, I was saying that Kristen Dunst was looking real rough in this movie.
But that's her character,
yeah, she
though.
She looks rough, but she's still pretty, especially for her age. And they cannot hide that fucking swinging figure of hers. She's in some baggy shit, but you could tell that chick's stacked. I thought it was good, though. It was good. I'm just saying that to let you go, yeah, she's uglied up, but it's still Kristen Dunst, man. She's cute, you know.
I mean, they just, like I said, she's supposed to be like a seasoned war photographer.
Yeah, they got it.
Who's
yeah.
been, you know, who's yeah. covered all these conflicts all over the world. So she's not going to look like a fucking beauty
yeah,
queen.
Yeah, she's not dolled up.
She's going to look like a regular ass.
Yeah, she's in the field.
Middle-aged woman.
She's in the field. Living like soldiers, sleeping on the ground, sleeping inside the vehicle.
Yeah.
So she's not a pretty girl. She's a combat fucking reporter.
Yeah, and she's believable as that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, everybody in this, like all the actors in this,
she's great
in it. Are really good.
Yeah, the acting is very good. It's shot very well. The soundtrack and the score are very good.
Weird,
but the
good.
Thing is, though, when they fucking when somebody unexpectedly just gets executed, the way they fucking have the soundscape of the fucking gunshot is very loud, and the timing is perfect, so you don't expect it a lot of times.
Yeah, it's almost like a jump scare,
like
but
a jump scare, yeah.
But that's what it would really be like, you know what yeah. I mean? Like if you were in that situation. So in a lot of ways, whenever they were going someplace. Like, you're driving through this thing, yeah. and you're like, oh, man, this is a bad situation. Because you yeah. just know there's a bomb's going to go off or yeah. somebody's going to get shot or something. So it's like the whole time you're watching it, it's yeah. just, like, super tense, like, the yeah. whole time.
And the dude that fucking with the pink glasses, you said his name, who does
Jesse
that
Plemons,
scene.
Jesse Plemons, yeah.
He's fucking epic in that scene.
Everybody knows him from Breaking Bad.
Epic.
Like I said, I kind of know him from some smaller movies. Like, he was in Antlers, and yeah. he was in I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
Yeah.
And so he's been in a ton of yeah. shit.
He's portraying a guardsman from his state.
I gotta pee.
And him and his buddies have had enough of this shit. And they just fucking, they're tired. And they're fucking, they're definitely under a lot of pressure, and they're kind of just on the edge of sanity. I mean, what motherfucker's running around? He's got the damn pink glasses on, fucking blood encrusted on his hand. And you'll see, the blood was from all the bodies in the back of the dump truck that they were burying. And they seemed to be burying it secretly. And they were going to kill everybody because they saw it. They saw him buried them all. It's just a great scene with that dude. And fucking, he ought to get a fucking act, it's like an Academy Award for a fucking character actor. Because I could just feel, you know, me being ex-military, fucking, if you don't know me, if you're new to the show, I'm ex-101st Airborne Division, 1st 327 Recon, 1st 327 Line Platoon, and 506 up in Korea in Brazil, 60 gunner and scout, with in another unit I was a scout. And he sold it to me. He was very tired and kind of like at his wit's end. And was numb to what was happening. But he was just fucking sick of it. He'd kill you in a heartbeat. And it was kind of emotionless. It wasn't a big deal to him. He was just sick of fucking trying to establish order. Or to reestablish order.
He seemed to kind of enjoy it a little bit too, I'm going to say.
Well, I think what it was is what you're showing is that he was not at risk. Nobody was pointing a gun at him.
So yeah,
this is just a part of his job, kind of amusing, but he's just fucking sick of people. You know, you could tell. And it, based on the conversation, he and his boys were killing anyone who did not belong in the area, because that was the only control they had. That was all they could do. They were probably given orders. Look, keep order. Find and destroy enemy. Well, fucking bad shit's happening. You can't do it in such chaos. When you have massive chaos and they're giving you these orders and the orders doesn't match the situation, you're fucking lost. So what do as a soldier? He said, well, first things you find out who doesn't belong here. That's rule one. And then rule number two is who has the same ideology of the enemy. I think that was what was coming next. Is that you're a supporter of the fucking loyalists. But he only gets through the first round of questions of where you're from. Yeah. And you can tell he's kind of unsure of his own system. You know what I mean? He's like, oh, yeah, that's American. That's American, yeah. Goes to the Hispanic guy, where are you from? And he goes, from America. And he goes, yeah, but what kind of America? Central America or South America? And he goes, I'm from Florida. Which that could have been plausible. I don't know if he was actually from there.
That actor is Brazilian, actually.
What I'm saying is that character.
That character could be. He was. Yeah, I think he was.
We live in Florida, and Florida's half Hispanic. It has always been half Hispanic. This was part of the Spanish Empire, and fucking Florida was purchased, okay, from the Spanish Empire. So he took that. He accepted that. Okay. Yeah, you're a Floridian. Okay. But he was going through his.
But he was still kind of shaky. He wasn't real sure about it.
Because there was going to be more questions coming. He was going to ask him a bunch of questions to see who has to die. Yeah. It's a weird scene. Because for him, this isn't really a big deal. But you could tell he's kind of mentally numb and distanced from. He's having like an out-of-body experience, I think. They've been killing a lot of people. So there's a lot
well,
of
Well, they have a whole.
They have a whole
pit.
Truck full of them.
And like I said, there's little kids in there.
Yeah, little kids. So if you don't belong here, you were dead. At least that. I think phase two might have been the equivalent of, are you on the left or are you on the right? That's probably what the next question would be. Are you a traditional American? And in his opinion, probably traditional American would have been conservative. Probably was going to be the next question. Anything, because if you're not that, then you're dangerous. Do you think that's probably where that might have been going?
Probably, but like I said, they wisely kind of left it. I mean, that's kind of where I thought it was probably going to go, but it could have gone either way, really.
In a real Civil War situation, it's broken down to the very base characteristics. Kind of like back in the old days on the internet, fucking. If you were talking to a female in a chat room, which those don't exist anymore, people would just go ASL, age, sex, location. They're asking you where you're from, how old you are, and are you male or female? He was kind of doing that. Where are you from? Yeah, I thought that was fucking brilliant. But it was just desperate dudes trying to fucking keep order.
I mean, I'm not going to say he didn't steal the whole movie because everybody in this movie is great, but holy crap. Yeah. He was in one fucking sequence, and everybody's talking about that scene. Yeah. It's a great scene.
In a real Civil War situation, if it happened here now, I guess it's very difficult to fucking predict the future. Again, that movie kind of artistically shows you that Florida and Texas were in an alliance, which that...
Well, parts of Florida were. Yeah, I thought that was the implication.
Right. That's kind of an odd thing, but anything could happen in fucking Civil War.
That's what I mean, you never know.
Yeah. Most likely what would happen in a civil war if the fucking society was totally disintegrated, the only thing that would matter would be your race, what religion you are, and your political affiliation. If it doesn't line up with the fucking powers in power, you die. So you have to lie. You know. But it's funny, you know, you're in an extreme situation. They're judging people based on immutable characteristics. You can't choose to be black or white or Hispanic.
Yeah, you're kind of stuck with
that's whatever. Not really fucking, you know. And then you can't really choose where you were born if you're in the United States.
Well, no.
No. But that's a very good example because that's usually what happens. Usually when a country breaks apart, it breaks apart along ethnic lines and or religious lines. And then politics last. Yeah.
CB is asking, how long is it on for? I'm not real sure. It just started. I think that it just came out this past weekend. I think it started this past Thursday. So I'm sure if it's due, it seems to be doing fairly well.
So it's a good watch.
Yeah, so we'll see. Like I said, I can see, like, some people didn't like it, and I can see how some people, like, maybe had valid criticisms of it, but honestly, I thought it was pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was a pretty fucking good movie. Like I said, it's not a good time, it's not a fun movie to watch or anything like that, because it's dystopian, you know what I mean?
The only thing that I thought was questionable in terms of accuracy about what happens when a country is fighting itself was the idea that the other factions wanted to occupy Washington, D.C. That's a very old school fucking thinking. That's like,
yeah,
Christians trying to take a fucking, what was it, Jerusalem.
But on the other hand, I could see how some of that allure or some of that...
They want the mystique of the
right, some of that movie. Might maybe, linger.
Maybe.
I could see that happening. I didn't find that particularly... unbelievable, and honestly, like I said, it's a movie, so you do, and even though the movie is, I'm gonna say, it's kind of episodic, like I said, it's like a road trip movie. It's like we're driving for a little while and then we stop and then we meet these people and stuff, like I said, so it's kind of like The Walking Dead type of situation, except without zombies.
Yeah.
But they did have to have like some goal, like some place where they were all going to, so that made as much sense as anything.
Historically, on the average, what usually happens is the breakaway factions, especially if it's in a big country, create their own new capitals. They don't want the old capital. They're sick of that. So they're going to make a new capital, like we did when we left Britain. And we're going to make our capital better than their capital. That's like usually
my dad can beat up your dad.
Yeah, that's usually what happens. We don't want it to be anything like y'all. That's the attitude they're going to have. Y'all are fucking suck. We want to be nothing like you. We don't care about those old monuments. Our shit's going to be right here. You know what I mean? So they're going to make a new fucking Capitol building, and they're going to make that bitch grand and try to make that very legitimate. And they're usually borrowing shit from the old nation. Here in the United States, there'd still be eagles everywhere. You'd have a flag that probably looked like the American flag, which they show that in this movie. It's just going to have a different numbers of stars and stripes on it, which that is what happened in the Confederate States of America. People think that that damn fucking battle flag, the red one with the blue X, they call it the rebel flag or whatever, the Confederate flag. It is not the Confederate flag. The Confederate flag looked like the American flag. It just had 13 stars in it, and it only had 3 stripes, 2 red ones and a white one. But it was the same layout. That was the Confederate flag. And that's very typical with other countries. When they leave, their flag is a different version of the old flag. And they're going to say, this is the new one, this is the better one, this is the good one. Confederate money had Washington, D.C., had George Washington on it. You know, it didn't have fucking Jefferson Davis, if I remember correctly. Maybe some of them did, but I don't remember seeing Jefferson Davis. Jefferson Davis was not considered to be the founding father of the Confederacy. George Washington was. So that's the way it would go. It'd be that same thing again here. You'd have different factions of America saying, we're the real America. We're like Ben Franklin. We're like George Washington. We're like fucking Daniel Boone and fucking, you know, fucking whatever. Paul Bunyan's from here. It could be anything. They make up their own state mythologies. So the movie got it. Spot on.
That's what I mean. So I thought it was like quite accurate.
Yeah.
Even though it's alternate history or alternate future, I guess.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem, nothing seemed egregiously unrealistic to me. Phantom says, does Kirsten Dunst's character survive throughout the whole film? Spoiler alert, no.
No, she dies at the very end.
But like I said, a lot of people die in this fucking movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Xanadu said, taking DC would be a propaganda victory.
Yeah,
that's all
it would just be propaganda.
That's what I was kind of thinking. It would just kind of be like, it would just be more like a ceremonial kind of like, hey, we got it. You know what I mean? It'd be that kind of thing.
Yeah. Now, if they did do it, which would be very risky and costly, even with a weakened loyalist states of America. If they did do it, like I said, they would restock it with other people from their unions, and they would try to restock it with the other factions, people from the other factions to go into the Congress and the Senate. But probably the character of the older black guy, he was also in Dune. He's good in this too.
I love that actor.
He played Thufir with the fucking...
Stephen McKinley Henderson.
Yeah, he played the Mantak.
His character's name is Sam.
He was probably right. In the world they were in, as soon as Washington, D.C. was gone, they'd be fighting over each other about how to run that capital. That's what would happen.
Phantom says, how does she die? Should we say? Like I said, spoiler. No. Yeah, I was going to say spoiler alert, but she did, yeah. Like I said, we said at the beginning if you just got here, sorry. Yeah, but it's like we kind of, you gotta have to spoil stuff to like talk about.
I recommend the movie. I think it's a very good basic training primer for what civil warfare looks like and kind of how it would look today. I heard the guy saying, well, they would be using all these high-tech drones and shit. Yeah, they probably did use all those high-tech drones for a while.
Years ago.
Then they ran out of them.
Right.
Right. There's no production facilities to make anything. And the U.S. dollar wasn't worth anything. They were using the Canadian dollar.
Yeah.
Well, they were using the U.S. dollars just that like 300 U.S. dollars could buy a sandwich, is what they said.
Yeah.
300 Canadian dollars could buy a tank of gasoline.
And a little bit extra.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Which that's how it would be. Power was intermittent. They were losing power all the time, even in populated areas.
And they seemed like they were kind of used to it. Like all the journalists that were in the hotel, like in New York, like the power went out, and they were like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Gasoline, and then they had generators and stuff, but
gasoline was you needed a license for it. It was being rationed.
Yeah. So and like I said, it was just I kind of like the way it was just. I don't know. It just kind of like went through like a lot of the scenarios that you would have in this situation where everything is just kind of fragmented and nobody knew what other people were doing. Like,
yeah, and most people were staying at home in denial that it was happening. They didn't believe it was happening. Pretended that they they pretend like everything was all right and that it was it's all right.
They were just trying to have a normal life over here.
And that's commonly reported. When country started falling.
Well, I kind of feel like that's what most people would do because it's like, shit, man, who the hell wants to get embroiled in all
most
that
people
nonsense?
Or do not want to kill other people or die for political beliefs or beliefs. Only in the first, I believe in the first American Revolution against Britain, I think only 3% of the colonial population was. It's either 3% or 13%. I think it might have only been 3% were actually involved in the fighting. It was mostly riots.
Yeah.
And people don't... America has a weird mythology. When they show the fucking original 13 colonies and the revolt against the British crown, the average American thinks that we seceded in 1776 and that it was over. That's it. We got our independence. No. They fought for about another 25 years. It wasn't resolved until the War of 1812. And we lost that war against the British. But they realized that they couldn't really get a grip on the U.S. mind.
Yeah, it's too much trouble.
Too much trouble. Fuck those Yanks. General Washington and his troops lost almost every battle they were in.
Yeah.
But they just kept enduring. They wouldn't go away.
They were just really stubborn.
Right. The main mechanism that the revolutionaries used against the British is something that they don't want to talk about in American history. Revolutionaries would be at the bar bitching about the local mayor or the governor that he was loyal to the fucking King of England. They get drunk and they go to his house, kind of like Antifa would do, throw rocks at it. They'd eventually bust into the house. They'd pull the judge. It's usually a judge or some kind of governor or something like that, a judge or a mayor. They'd pull him out in front of his house and they would tar and feather him and the wife was usually assaulted, if you know what I mean. And the daughters. All right. The American revolutionaries were not good guys. I agreed with their cause, but it was achieved through brutality and it always achieved through brutality.
I mean, you can agree with someone's cause and not agree with the means that they use to achieve it.
But really, when you look at history, that seems to be the only method. Because what happens after that is the other judges see what happened. And now they're afraid to enforce the king's will. They start siding with the other colonists because they have to. They don't want to get killed. The colonists were a bigger threat than the British soldiers to the judges. So they stop doing things like supporting England. Nowadays you call that terrorism. But that works. That's what actually works. It's the same thing in the French Revolution. The French Revolution was even worse. So it was non-combatants going other civilian non-combatants because they believed things and were supporting a system that nobody wanted. That's kind of what you see in this movie, in a way. It's just that you have some kind of organized armies doing that.
Which you would, like I said, which you would, in real life.
The Boogaloo Boys were Floridians of the Florida Alliance. Another, there was the Western Alliance looked like another United States of America, had the same equipment. And then the Loyalist Similar States, uniforms. All they show is basically guys kind of like the U.S. Army and a bunch of Secret Service guys protecting the president. It was a great movie.
Yeah, cool. I liked it a lot.
If that shit goes down, the United States in the federal government you're thinking about, that's not going to be who you're going to be fighting. It's going to take years, and by the time it actually comes to blow, the United States in Washington, D.C. that you're thinking of no longer exists. It's going to be atrophied or mutated into something that the average person wouldn't believe in. And that even happened in Rome. Same thing.
Xanana says, Benedict Arnold's history is fascinating. He was actually a decent guy if you look into it. He felt he got snubbed for promotion, so switched teams, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've been wanting to do a show about him for a while, and he's been on the list for,
Americans
for quite a while.
Have a hard time accepting, because they're just the way we're kind of brainwashed and trained, that the colonists were British. The revolutionaries were British. It was British on British violence.
Brit on Brit.
Yeah. Yeah, it was British on British violence.
That's really funny. So Hugo said, did you guys like the movie? Would you recommend watching it?
Yeah.
Like I said, it does, just don't go into it, because I kind of feel like, I don't want to say the trailers are misleading necessarily, but go into it. It's more of a character piece. It's more of a, it's not a action film. It's more like a road movie, kind of. You know what I mean? It's like a road movie, but like a dystopian. Like I said, it's kind of more like The Last of Us or Walking Dead or the road, but not as depressing as that. It's kind of more like that, but with intermittent kind of fight scene, like battle scenes. But a lot of it is not that. So it's like it's not an action movie. So I kind of feel like they tried. I don't know if the trailer made it look like an action movie, but I mean, obviously the trailer is going to show you all the exciting shit. But a lot of the movie is just the characters. You know what I mean? It's very character focused. So it's not exactly like it was marketed, is what I'm going to say. Because I was like, I wanted to see it because it was A24 and I liked all the actors in it and stuff like that. But I'm like, man, do I really want to see this? It's like, it might make me mad or something like that. But it's just kind of, it wasn't anything like I was expecting.
Yeah. Yeah. The impartiality was one of the great parts of
the whole ambiguity of it, I think was like,
because
really
once
well
bullets
done.
Starts flying, it's kind of impartial. It's just people fighting for power. They all think they're right.
Yeah. Essentially.
Yeah. The political arguments are long gone. Those have been, it's been resolved that we will never come to an agreement, so somebody's got to go. So they don't even talk about politics.
Yeah, because they've gone past that point by this stage.
Yeah, they've gone past all that.
It's like,
they,
it doesn't
just
even
hate
matter
each
anymore.
Other now.
Yeah, they're just like, we're just going to shoot them on sight. That's how that's going to go.
Now, Xanada asked a good question. Was it better than Red Dawn? There's a reason why he's asking that, because for those of you who don't know, I talked to Xanada offline or outside the show, recommend movies, and we talk a lot. He's a young guy from, I believe, Arizona. I think it's Arizona. Yeah, Arizona, New Mexico. I don't remember. Anyway, Red Dawn is a very, even though I love John Milius and a lot of his movies are great, the original Red Dawn is totally unrealistic. The Wolverines would never be fighting the Cuban or Soviet forces in their home turf. That would be a waste of time. For every soldier you killed, they would rapidly replace him with another one. And every time you do it, you'd lose maybe a half a man or a man and a half or two men every time. So after about 10 engagements, the Wolverines would have been dead. What the Wolverines really would have done is what the American revolutionaries did, is that they would go after other Americans who were siding or obeying the Soviets. That's what they did. And that's what all the, what they called the Iranian-backed militias or Iraqi-backed militias. What they were doing is they were going after Iraqi people that were cooperating with the U.S. Army. They go in there and they kill the whole family, and then they maybe take up somebody's head and leave it on a porch and make a note that says, this is what happens when you side with the invader. That's what the Wolverines really would have been doing. They'd have been down there killing Americans who had sided with the invaders. That's more effective. When you do that, the enemy occupying force can't get anything out of the indigenous people because they're too afraid to work with them. So they can't get anything done. They can't achieve their goals. Their goals are usually stupid shit. Building schools to re-educate your kids. Building fucking, rebuilding the infrastructure, water and food, because all that was destroyed during the invasions. That kind of shit. They're trying to be the heroes, the liberators. And the rebels try to stop that. They stop that by fucking over anybody who sides with the invaders. And the invaders eventually get frustrated and leave. Just like we did with Iraq and Afghanistan. Same. It's, nothing's new in tactics, you know, or in strategies. Just get them to leave, wear them out.
Santa says Nevada.
Nevada, okay.
Some,
he's from the desert.
You were kind of close.
Yeah.
Xander also says, Red Dawn is a good propaganda film. It has a lot of soul, but not realistic, obviously.
Not at all.
Yeah, it's a fun movie, but right. Yeah, it wouldn't go down like that. Not.
No, The Wolverines would have been anti-collaborationists. If you collaborated with the enemy, they kill you and your family. Because some dudes are willing to die for what they believe in, but they're not willing to have their kids or their wives die for what they believe in. So you always go for their kids.
Yeah, that's a whole other level.
You always use their family members as leverage against them. And you don't have to do it that much. Maybe it's 5-6 families in an area, and then after that, they wouldn't cooperate with the enemy. Because why would you get your kids to get killed? Your wife, you know.
Yeah, John Gore said that would have made a more interesting movie from the sound of it. Never saw Red Dawn. It always looked cheesy.
Yeah.
It is cheesy.
Yeah, it's cheesy.
But it's fun cheesy.
It's kind of a propaganda film, rah, 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 America, America, America.
Yeah. But the 80s one, I don't think I've seen. Did we see the remake? Mm-hmm. I don't remember if we saw the remake.
But I never saw the remake.
I might have, but it didn't make much of an impression if I did, because I don't remember if I saw it or not. But I saw the original like several times, and it is cheesy, but in that fun 80s over-the-top kind of way.
Yeah, the movie's taking itself very seriously, too.
Which makes it funnier.
It kind of makes it funny.
It kind of makes it funnier.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's so earnest.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it's one of John Milius's worst.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. But it's still entertaining, though. Yeah. It's still entertaining. Yeah, Xander said it's cheesy, but a lot of 80s movies were cheesy. Yeah, it's cheesy in that over-the-top, overblown 80s way. But I think that's why a lot of people still like 80s movies, because they were so earnest.
They're like that, yeah. Top Gun's like that.
And they kind of, yeah. And that kind of, like, they're so over the top that it just makes it kind of funny, you know? All right, so are we done talking about this?
Xander wants to know, was everybody carrying M16s or was it a more exotic gun? If I remember correctly, the dude that had hung the looters up was carrying an AKM or an AK-47. The Boogaloo Boys all had real nice AR-15s with fucking, you know, free float handguards, you know, fucking shit like Magpul furniture on it and fucking lights and fucking red dots. I like the fact that they didn't show the fucking Boogie Boys. What do you call them? The fucking Boogaloo Boys. They didn't show them as incompetent or anything. The Boogaloo Boys go to the range. A lot of them are ex-military. And in this, they were fighting well. And they had guys of different races with them. So they weren't trying to say they were white supremacists or anything like that. Because the Boogaloo Boys got a lot of black guys in there. They got black guys that fucking like the range and shit, that are into the fucking U.S. Constitution and the Second Amendment and all that. So they showed a fucking a black Boogaloo Boy. He was one that was pinned down by enemy fire, and the dudes were trying to pop smoke to save him so he can come back in and rejoin the rest of the group. I'm not going to tell you how that ends, but they ended up fighting their way inside there at the Loyalist forces and wiped them out. It was a good flick, good part of the flick. And they all looked, everybody in combat looked physically capable, and the equipment that they were wearing was authentic. You know, the Boogaloo Boys were wearing combat pants, fucking combat tennis shoes, fucking different kinds of Hawaiian shirts with fucking web gear over it. And helmets. If I remember, didn't they have helmets? I think they had Kevlar helmets, didn't they?
I can't remember.
Yeah, but they were using team tactics and shit. They knew what they were doing.
Phantom said that 80s film where the terrorists take over a school and the students fight back against them was pretty good. I forget the name. Was that Class of 84?
Yeah, that
Class of 1984?
Yeah.
Was that Class of 1984?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Just stream all night. You guys are on a roll.
Yeah. We're on a roll. All
right. I mean.
Okay.
We could possibly, but, you know, I gotta talk to a potential new client tomorrow. I got a Zoom meeting. It wasn't Class of 1984. What the fuck was it? I know what you're talking about, but that was the first thing that popped into my head. I just saw that not too long ago, but no, it wasn't War Games. War Games was the one with Matthew Broderick where he accidentally hacked into the NORAD or whatever. You know what I mean? And started a nuclear war or something. That was a good movie, actually. I liked that movie. Yeah, he's talking about Red Dawn. Xanadu says Charlie Sheen barely acts in it, which makes it one of his best films. Yeah.
Red Dawn was a sick good burn. Movie.
Toy Soldiers was the one they were talking about.
Okay. Red Dawn, Milius is the original. Red Dawn is a good movie if you're drinking and you want to watch kind of a fucking patriotic fucking resistance movie.
USA.
It's cheesy, like, you know.
If you're in that kind of
movie. It's almost kind of like fucking, what was that? Fucking not Death Wish. With the Kumite. Fucking
Bloodsport.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Not that bad, but because it was actually had a higher budget.
I mean, Bloodsport's hilarious.
Yeah, though. But I love Bloodsport because I'm just like, what the fuck?
It's hilarious.
Come on, the story of Frank Dux.
I mean, we've talked about that a lot on this show.
So the naysayers on the left or the right, disregard. Just go see it. It's a good movie.
I mean, I kind of feel like I could see maybe not liking this movie for whatever reason, but it's just like I'm kind of the weird thing about it is that some people are like, well, I don't even want to see that because of the way they think it's going to be. Yeah. And I was like, I don't, that's dumb. No, like, if you have no interest in it, then that's another thing. Because there's lots of movies that I don't have any interest in seeing, and it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, it's just like, it's not really my thing. But it's like, don't judge it by what you think it is, because it's not that.
Yeah.
It's not that.
It just kind of, it's a slightly nihilistic.
Yeah, it is.
It says that what the movie is saying is that disagreements within a big, diverse nation like the United States can get so bad that you can't repair them.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that was maybe... They don't hit you over the head with it, but that is kind of the pervading feeling of the movie.
And history, for sure. And history is backing this movie up. That's usually how nations are born. They break away from bigger ones, you know. Rome got so big that it broke in half, Eastern and Western Empire. They weren't fighting each other, but I bet you we're not hearing the whole story. That was probably a very painful situation for the Eastern and for the Empire to break into two pieces. Bet you there was basically a civil war to get that done. Whether or not they were actually killing each other, I don't know. Probably threatening each other.
I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm sure that was not a clean process, because I can't imagine that ever being a clean process. Especially when there's rich people involved.
No,
we're not letting that half go. I got investments over there. It's going to be shit like that.
Yeah, there's going to be all kind of entanglements. Like,
no, I don't want that dude in control of that shit because my farm, I got farmland over there and I don't trust that dude to be emperor of the Eastern. No, it's going to be, I'm sure it was pretty painful. But a lot of things are just lost with time.
Yeah, I mean, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, and then once the Western Empire broke apart, it just basically broke apart kind of into the medieval kingdoms that you see today of the fucking Roman or of the Western European nation states. So those all started to break apart. There was a while where the Visigoths and the Visigothic Empire considered themselves to be more Roman than Rome, because Rome was a bunch of religious fanatics and they were talking about Christians. Even though the Visigoths were Christian, it's just that they thought those motherfuckers were fundamentalists and that the Visigoths were holding the true Roman philosophy and the Roman culture because we're reasonable. You know, I mean, we have logic and reason and science and shit like that. So, even though their science was not as we know it, but so that's just how it goes. Big countries can eventually break apart into small ones, and it usually takes about 200 years. Yeah, which is about time. You can't have a big, diverse country for long. People go off in their own directions eventually. Especially if you have a central government that's calling half of the population traitors and insurrectionists, like this guy in the movie. Then basically, you can't talk to your wife that way. You're going to get a divorce. It's the same way in this movie. There's going to be a divorce.
Oracle says, anybody here planning on seeing that vampire movie Abigail? That, I saw the trailer for that. It looked super fun.
It looked good, yeah.
So probably we will go see it. We might go see the first Omen, too. I'm not sure. I'm kind of hearing mixed reviews of that, but I've heard some people saying, like, it was better than they expected. So maybe we'll see that. Also, we saw the trailer for Maxine, and I am super jacked to see that. I'm excited to see Maxine, and I'm excited to see Furiosa whenever that comes out.
Yeah.
Because that looks rad as hell. Yeah, Class of 84 was the one with the gang of punks. Yeah, that's right. I watched that a couple years ago.
I never saw it. I just remember
It was on Shudder for a while, and yeah. I think I rewatched it like a few years
ago. Do you want some of that? You want that?
Oh, okay. Oh, you've got booze left over. Look at you.
Yeah, I've drank plenty.
Yeah, it was Michael J. Fox's first film, I think. Yeah, it might have been, now that you're mentioning it. And then, yeah, Roddy McDowell's in it, too. Roddy McDowell's great in everything. I love Roddy McDowell. So, yeah. So, basically, it's interesting because this doesn't have that much to do with this movie, but the show that we're going to do on Wednesday night, somebody was bringing up something about the ethnic and religious lines about the Orthodox versus Muslim versus Catholic. Interestingly, the show that we're going to do on Wednesday night is going to be about The Children's Crusade from 1212, which I think that'll be a really interesting show. We can get on all kind of like medieval history and stuff like that. So that should be really interesting. And I'm sure some of the same points that we brought up about this movie will come up on that show as well. But yeah, Phantom says I got to add Class of 1984 to my film collection because I have the other two films. Yeah, I don't remember. I know I've seen Class of 1984 two or three times, but because I saw it back on video, like back in the day. And then I watched it again, probably in the 90s, I want to say. And then I watched it again a couple years ago. But it was on Shudder a couple years back. I don't know if it's still on there or not. Yeah, everything about the Crusades is fascinating. Yeah, that's what we're going to do on Wednesday night. Show is going to be about the Children's Crusade.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There were several of those. But it's going to be
good. I mean, we're going to talk about the main one from 1212, which... Spoiler alert, they're not entirely sure if it happened or not, or if it happened the way that it was chronicled. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we'll get into that, too, because I was kind of reading a little bit about it today, and I'm like, this is going to be an interesting show, I think.
Yeah. So you want to go ahead and close it out?
Yeah, I reckon so. All right. We've been on for an hour and 42 minutes.
Oh, shit. Almost a full show.
But, yeah. But like I said, it's, you know, this movie kind of merits that kind of discussion, I think. Yeah. And like I said, it was kind of making me mad that, like, people were like, well, I'm not even going to see it because they think it's going to be one way. But I'm like, it's not like what you're expecting. It's totally different.
Very good basic training primer for high level societal fucking conflict. Okay. Yeah. It doesn't give you skills or anything like that, but it does give you an awareness of fucking... the kind of shit that happens in a war-torn country.
Phantom really wants to know how Kirsten Dunst dies.
Because well, there's only so many ways you can die in combat, isn't there?
Spoiler alert, she gets fucking shot.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Just watch the movie.
Don't listen to what people say. Just watch it. It's a good movie.
Yeah, like I said, and I'm not going to say, oh, everyone that watches is going to love it, because I'm sure that there's, you know, some people are not going to like it for other reasons, but... don't go into it like thinking you're just not going to like it because you have preconceived notions about it.
I mean, it's much lower budget than Apocalypse Now, but kind of an Apocalypse Now kind of a movie.
It gave me that kind of vibes. Like I said, it's almost like Apocalypse, and it's not, like you said, it's not as epic as that, but it's like Apocalypse Now, but like meets The Walking Dead,
yeah,
but without zombies.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But
it's a good description.
And like I said, and it's kind of, I've seen it also compared to something like more like documentary style films like Welcome to Sarajevo or something like that. But you know, which
it's
may
not a documentary though.
But it's not. But like the way it's shot in places, it was kind of evokes that.
Yeah, this group of people is just going from one aspect of the war zone to another. And you see all the forces involved. Or all the factions involved.
Yeah.
It's different thing happens in each one.
Yeah.
And they pretty much get along with all the factions.
Well, because, like I said,
they're neutral.
They're supposedly neutral observers.
Yeah.
You know, they're press. Although it does kind of come into the thing where they do imply they're like, you're going to go to D.C. It's like, you know, they shoot journalists like just on site or whatever, but they're still going because they're going to get the story.
Yeah. Well, evidently he said he talked to them.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, but they get a pass where maybe some other people wouldn't because they're supposed to be like impartial observers, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously people don't trust them. Either, but I think that was why that was a good decision to make photojournalists like the main characters.
Yeah, and some people said, oh, they're just trying to make Trump look bad, make that president look sad. No, fuck no. The Boogaloo Boys are fighting him. The South was fighting against it, fighting against the president. It's a generic president who's evidently a crook. And has killed a bunch of American citizens in a bunch of different states using drone strikes. He's very unpopular, and the loyalist forces are smaller than the combined forces against him. So they're a minority. And Florida's against him. So and Texas is against him, and California's against him. So it's not a popular outfit.
Yeah, like I said, it's not an exact map onto. Real, like, present-day politics.
It's just tendencies that happen in warfare.
Right, that's all it is.
It can get to where the people that occupy...
It's a more generalized...
Yeah, it can get to the point to where the country's so war-torn that the so-called official government that is holding power is in there, but they're very unpopular, and it's just them and their political party. And they're saying, we're the real America. So, no. That's why they want to recapture the Capitol and get rid of this dude.
You know, so it seemed like everybody hated him.
Everybody didn't like him. Yeah, and his army surrendered on him, push come to shove.
Yeah. All right, so we got to wrap it up because I got to relax some and go. So like I said, I got a Zoom meeting tomorrow that I got to kind of get ready for. So I can't get like too... I got to get some rest, you know what I mean? So that kind of thing. So yeah, again, we'll be back on Wednesday night. We're going to do a show about the Children's Crusade. So that should be super fun. So hopefully you guys can join us for that. Thanks for hanging out with us this evening and this discussion. This was very interesting. We'll see you guys again on Wednesday night.